How's everyone doing? Yes, enjoying the hot Alberta weather? Yes, good, good. Well, we're happy to be with you again here today. Tomorrow, Nomiko Madden will be sharing with you also some outreach initiatives and some pointers on how to reach out to others in the communities. But today we're actually going to be looking at Christ's method of evangelism. Now, how is it that Jesus went about seeking the lost? You know, yesterday we spoke about God's call to witness, that God desires for us to go out and make disciples of all nations, as is indicated in the New Testament. His desire is for us to share our faith and to lead others to know Him, which is life eternal. Today we're going to look at how did Jesus go about this? And we're going to be looking at one specific example as well. And so I guess you'll have a clue when looking at the title, The Witnessing Well. And you'll understand a little bit about what text we will be looking at today. I love this quote in The Desire of Ages. It says, "There may be only one to hear the message, but who can tell how far-reaching will be its influence?" It seemed a small matter even to his disciples for the Savior to spend his time upon a woman of Samaria, but he reasoned more earnestly and eloquently with her than with kings, counselors, or high priests. The lessons he gave to that woman have been repeated to the earth's remotest bounds. And we're going to have a handout given to you. Frank from the School of Evangelism Change School will be handing out to each of you a handout that we'll be using in this session this afternoon. Thank you, Frank. And this quote in Desire of Ages, page 194, refers to the woman of Samaria and that special dialogue that Jesus had with her. And we're going to take a deeper look at that dialogue to really deepen our understanding of Christ's method of reaching out to others. It's amazing that he reasoned more earnestly and eloquently with her than with kings, counselors, or high priests. Isn't that awesome? That he would actually spend that kind of time with a woman that most people do not see the value that she had. But Jesus saw how she would become a mighty evangelist. Shall we look at it together? Let's look at John chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him that he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband, and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly. The woman said to him, verse 19, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah coming, who is called Christ, when he comes, he will teach, tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Again, the quote from the Desire of Ages says, There may be only one to hear the message, but who can tell how far-reaching will be its influence? It seemed a small matter even to his disciples for the Savior to spend his time upon a woman of Samaria, but he reasoned more earnestly and eloquently with her than with kings, with counselors, or high priests. The lessons he gave to that woman have been repeated to the earth's remotest bounds. Awesome. What the disciples felt was maybe a waste of time, maybe unnecessary for him to spend all this time with this just one woman, Jesus saw something that no one else was able to see. He saw the value of this Samaritan woman, and he begins a process of dialogue with her, extended dialogue that basically a whole chapter is given to almost a whole chapter is given to this, over 38 verses, well, actually 42 verses, are given to this very encounter and situation with this Samaritan woman. We understand that Ellen White says that the one-person audience is so valuable. And sometimes we think, well, do we need, you know, it'd be better if we had an audience of hundreds of people or thousands of people. But God, you see how much he devotes to that one-person audience. To God, that he would use that woman, as we will read, in more powerful ways than we can imagine. I remember in 2000 and I guess it was 2007, I was asked to go to England to preach an evangelistic series for Southern England in Watford Town. Have any of you been to England before? England? Yes, okay. So Watford Town is not too far from London, but when it comes to the Adventist Church, that's where a lot is concentrated in. You know, they have the bookstore there, they have the British Union there, they have the Southern England Conference there, and they have several churches. And they had asked me to actually preach and do an evangelistic series there. And see, for you to understand, at that time I just felt that it really did not make sense to me. Yes, I had preached some evangelistic series in Hungary and Philippines, but I had never done my own series. And number two, I hadn't even had the theological training. I had not yet gone to seminary. I was going the year after in 2008, and I really felt that they had the wrong person. You know, they called me up and they said, Sander, we've been praying and God has laid on our heart that we are to ask you to come do the evangelistic series for this year, or it was for the next year. They called me in 2006 for 2007 to do the evangelistic series for our church in Watford Town. And I remember telling them, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I think you may have the wrong person. You know, I think you're looking for a seasoned evangelist that has done evangelistic series for many years. I mean, they shared how last year they had the Best Preacher of the Year award went to their evangelist from the year before. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not that person. I can't come close to that. They said, Sandra, this may sound strange to you, but we pray, you know, a year before, we pray ahead of time. And we prayed and prayed, and God said it'd be a young girl. And it was, you know, we're a West Indian church, mostly black West Indian population. But God told us it'd be a young girl. It'd be, you know, a girl who was not from our ethnic origin. It was just everything we asked for, well, God told us, pointed to you. So we know you're the person who's to come. We have no doubt. So you have to pray about it. So I went into prayer and I said, God, I don't understand. What is it that you would like us to do? Like, what is it that you want me to do? Why go there? And it was amazing that God laid two things on my heart. He said, Sandra, I want you to bring health expos to England. And yes, I want you to do an evangelistic series. And they wanted me to do one from scratch. And the theme was Secrets for Success. And so they wanted me to share a little bit of my banking background and then go right into the series. Well, I thought it was absurd, but as I prayed, I realized God had a plan. You know, he had somebody in particular he wanted to even join the church there, I realized after. So there I go. Before going to England, I found out that there's some individuals that had been trained on health expos. And I called, found out that these two individuals would actually in England be willing to drive to that location to actually train the church for evangelism and for health expos so that when I would get there, we would be all ready. It was awesome. I got there to the site. We started to do health expos, and we had individuals from all denominations come through. We had, in particular, we had this very sweet Buddhist family come through. They had recently immigrated just some years before to England, and they were interested in health. And this doctor of engineering came through with his family. And actually, he came through the first time by himself and said, oh, tomorrow I'm going to bring my family. And the next day he came through again. And when it came to counseling with God at the end of the New Start, basically Health Expo, there's a portion where you actually spend time with them and counsel with them. And when we counseled with them on their health, we also shared with them the piece on spiritual health and invited them to come to the evangelistic series. It was amazing how this individual came to the evangelistic series. He said, later on, he told me, he said, Sandra, as a Buddhist, I would never normally have entered a church. But because you came, you know, with this health program, I wanted to learn a little bit more on health. And I said, well, it shouldn't be a big deal. I'm entering a church. I think I can then go into a church as well. And so he entered into this church and decided that he wanted to know further how to improve his health, not just his physical health, but also his spiritual health. During the series, before the series began, for weeks I had prayer teams and prayer friends pray for me. And my prayer also was, Lord, I want you to be seen, I want you to be known, and I want you to be heard. Because I knew that if it was just me preaching, that without God there, his presence there in a marked way, then all would be a failure. And I asked and pled with God day after day, week after week, for his presence to be there. Amazing thing, opening night, the all the PowerPoint, all the screens, everything shut down. As I was preaching, there was one picture that came up, two pictures came up, and finally, everything died. Could you imagine opening night of an evangelistic series, your technology dies? That's what happened, and I didn't know what to do. I remember looking up, there was the technology booth just up top, and I looked up saying, what do I do, you know, basically. And they said, you know, they looked at me saying, we don't know what's happened. And so I had to preach on without notes, without any more, PowerPoint. But it was amazing that at the very end, as I did the appeal and the singing evangelist sang for the appeal, just then popped up the last picture of the evangelistic series that I had on the PowerPoint, and it was a picture of Jesus. So as I did the appeal, I shared how God is, you know, asking to enter their hearts, and I gave, you know, made an appeal for them to accept Jesus into their lives. Amazingly, some people came forward, and at the very end, that doctor of engineering came forward, that Buddhist man came forward, and he said, Miss, may I speak with you? So politely. I don't know if you've interacted with Buddhists before, but they're very quiet, very polite individuals. And he said, you know, Miss, I need to talk to you. You said that that is Jesus, that's God. You know, that was, you know, the last PowerPoint slide. You shared that. I said, yes. And he said, well, when you were speaking, I actually didn't see you. I actually saw him in front of you the whole time. And he's asking me to be a disciple. And I just, with tears in my eyes, what I thought was the worst that could have happened for technology to be, you know, not to work on opening night of a series, God said, Sandra, I answered your prayer. You asked me to show up, and I showed up for this gentleman here. And this man just fell in love with the hymns in our church, and he joined this church a few months later, became, and has really sought to translate all the hymns in his language, which there aren't too many people, individuals, but his whole village speak his language back in near India, so he could translate all the hymns and share the truth with those people. For one person, I believe God sent me to England. After that, it was awesome that God allowed for Health Expos to not only to be used in England, but England, Wales, and Scotland. After the series, I remember that Monday being impressed to go see the health director at the British Union, and I get there, and I remember her saying to me, I, you know, asked to speak with her. They sent me upstairs at lunchtime to speak with her. And she said, Sandra, I'm so happy you arrived. Today God told me just to pack my lunch. I'm not going out to lunch because he has someone to come see me. So you sit there and tell me everything God's laid on your heart to tell me. Very odd, I would say, very odd. And I just laid, and she goes, oh, before you go any further, God has already convicted me, rebuked me that I should have been participating in this health expo. It was very important. So you don't have to tell me, you know, you could tell me more about that, but know that I'm under conviction already. So now you tell me what else I need to know. I said, wow, I've never experienced anything like this. So I just went on to tell her what an amazing tool health expos are and how I really felt God had led me here, not really just to do a series, but for England, Wales, and Scotland really to be immersed in doing health evangelism through doing health expos. And she said, Sandra, several years ago, God had called me to take this position, and he says, I want you to do health and evangelism. She's a nurse for the, she was also a nurse and the director for health ministries for the BUC. And she said, Sandra, God told me 2 years later he was going to give me the tool that I needed for health evangelism, and today I have it. Amazingly, she trained all the churches in all of Scotland, Wales, and England to do health expos. So every church has become trained in doing health expos for outreach. Isn't that exciting? And I realized if God can use someone like me, who didn't, you know, even at that time, even have a degree in theology, that if he could use me to just even present a series without having the eloquence, the ability to reach hearts, that God would show up and lead someone to accept him as Lord and Savior in a special way. Someone who had no knowledge of really about Jesus. He was Buddhist, and yet God called him. Then I know that God can use any of you. He can use any of us to accomplish his work. And sometimes we may feel that just one person, what is the value of just one person? But God knows how far-reaching can be that influence of that one person. And I've seen that, praise God, with the with this gentleman, how God has used him to be able to reach to all of his people the truth about Jesus Christ. In Ministry of Healing, we learn about what Christ's method of evangelism is. In Ministry of Healing, page 143, it says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. So Jesus began with mingling with the people. He went into the highways and byways, meeting with people, getting to know the people, so that in the end he could then show sympathy for them, minister to them, and win their confidence before asking them to follow him. God knows how to use each one of us to be that kind of worker for him, as Jesus teaches us his method of evangelism. I was fortunate to have gone to Amazing Facts School of Evangelism to learn a bit more on how to do evangelism, and that laid the foundation for my passion. Even before that, I had a passion for sharing Christ when I worked in banking and in other sectors. But especially when I went to Amazing Facts, I just felt, wow, we really need to be able to be equipped to be able to do evangelism, to do outreach, to go out and share with others. What a blessing it is to be able to do that. And so God laid then on my heart the opportunity to really look at possibly one day having a school of evangelism in Canada. It was all my heart since 2004. And that's why I'm so happy that we have here at the Alberta Conference that we have a school of evangelism. You know, here, Change School of Evangelism, not only can you take the classes and come in and do the session from May, June, July for 3 months with us. You know, you will learn from various instructors from around the globe who will come and train. But also, you will get to be out in the community doing health expos, going door to door, doing other outreach initiatives so that others can come to know him through your daily mingling and contact with others. And so it gives you a bit of those tools, and I can't thank God enough for the training I received. And now it's a joy that we can work together, and we have students here in our midst that are in Change right now. Some are even theology students that have decided that they wanted even more practical training. So God works in amazing ways to equip us for his work. But most importantly, he teaches us. What does he want us to do? Is mingle with others. I find that within our church, sometimes we get so comfortable just being with our own friends, our own people. Isn't that right? Would any of you agree with that? Yes, we get so comfortable being with our own people, with our own friends. You know, they like minds, we think the same, we eat the same. It's so convenient, isn't it? But God sometimes wants us to get out of that comfort zone and go out to reach out to others. I remember when I was asked to go to seminary and led to go to seminary at Andrews University. I remember saying, God, I can't handle being in this Adventist bubble. I'm here all the time in this bubble. How do I get out of this Adventist bubble? Everybody knows you and loves you. You know, how can I reach out to others? And I would ask God for opportunities all the time to reach out to others. Well, it was interesting. What would always happen was my car would break down. It was always having to do with my car being repaired would be my opportunity for outreach. At one point, I remember saying, okay, God, who's the mechanic this time you want me to go to? And just that day, someone in class goes, Sandra, there's this new mechanic shop that just opened down the road. You've got to go see this person. And sure enough, I prayed and I went to go to this shop just outside of Berrien Springs in Niles to actually go get my car fixed. It was interesting when I got there. The gentleman had just opened his shop a few days ago, and he still had his little girl there in the shop with him. She was only about maybe 5 or 6 years old. And I guess he was babysitting and, taking care of the car, you know, any car that would come in. So he comes in, and I was with my friend Gina from school, and we decided to just sing songs with the little girl about Jesus as he was repairing the car. Well, we found it was amazing that she knew the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and other songs. And we went to the mechanic. We said, how is it that your little girl knows these songs? And he said, well, actually, sometimes I take her to Pioneer Memorial Church, PMC, there in Berrien Springs. You know, I actually grew up Adventist, but I married a non-Adventist, so I actually I sometimes take her there, and sometimes she learns these songs. And he shared, he said, well, you see, as you'll notice on the shop window, this Friday will be the first Friday we're open. But you see, I'm not keeping the Sabbath. You know, I know God has blessed me with this shop. He shared how, you know, he shared the story of how he'd been looking for a mechanic shop, how this opened up, very inexpensive, and just how God had blessed. And he said, but, you know, I've decided I'm not going to keep the Sabbath because my wife, who's non-Adventist, doesn't believe in the Sabbath. So, you know, that's why we're open during Sabbath hours. At that moment, I just said, oh no, how can you do that? And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? I said, how is it that you shared how God has blessed you with this shop, and yet how is it that you can keep it open during the Sabbath hours? And he looked at me and he said, Sandra, my mother just this morning called me and told me those very same words. And I just, you know, I asked if I could pray for him, and he agreed, and we prayed. And he said, Sandra, come back in an hour. I'll have your part for your car by then. We've ordered it. It'll be here. So I left, came back in an hour, and as I was in the waiting area, he said, Sandra, do you notice anything different in the front window? And I could see he'd changed his shop hours to be finished early on Friday so he could keep the Sabbath. Amen. Praise God. And I said, you know, I praise God that you made the decision for Jesus to do that. He said, you know, this would have been the first week that I have the shop open. But I realized that, you know, how could I do that with God, you know, after he's blessed me with this? And even though my wife's non-Adventist, I have to be true to God. And I just rejoiced in my heart, right? That even though being in this Adventist bubble, God would give me opportunities to get out of that bubble, to also meet with others, for there to be opportunities to share about Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And as long as we are willing, God can do the impossible. And so we see here, Christ's method alone will give true success. What is it? He mingled with men who desired their good. See, it didn't stop there. After I began to say, God, how else can I meet others? And he said, Sandra, laid on my heart, Sandra, go take some nursing classes at Lake Michigan College, this public university. And though I was doing my master's in theology, I ended up taking nursing classes at Lake Michigan College. And there, since you're a student, you're actually allowed to start groups. So I started a Bible study group. And from there, we had faculty and students join. And even within 6 months, by the time my class ended, there was one person who was baptized. Isn't that awesome? And we continued, seminarians continued doing that, and we continued having classes there and having different students go out and every week to actually continue this group, you know. So we would find one student who would actually take classes there and continue on in doing, I guess, a sort of campus ministries and Bible work. So the key, what was it? Mingling with others, right? If we stayed, if even as the seminarians, if we stayed just on Andrews campus of Andrews University, that wasn't enough. God wanted us to get out and mingle with others and share with others, right? And so through that, others were able to come to know Jesus through our lives. Again, the Savior mingled with men who, as one who desired their good. See, people know when we are being real with them. You know, do you really care about me? You know, people will know if we genuinely care for them and genuinely care for their needs. And we see that Jesus showed that he cared, that he showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. How do we win confidence? It is by ministering to the needs of others. Also, on Christian Service, page 117, it says, there is a need of coming close to the people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing and more time were spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. So God wants us to mingle with people and reach out to others. Let's finish the story in John chapter 4. And in verse 27, we read, and at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'There are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest'? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, behold, and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Awesome. Praise the Lord. God used one woman to lead others to know and come and meet this Jesus. On your sheet here, you'll find on the other side, there's just some questions we're actually going to go through together to help us to understand what is Christ's method of evangelism. So let's look at the first one. What was Jesus' approach and strategy in communicating with the Samaritan woman? I'll just ask for some mics because we'll just need to probably just interact with the people here. So what do you think? What was Christ's strategy? What was it in communicating with the Samaritan woman? How did he talk to her? What method did he use? Friends, okay. And back there? Okay, excellent. He asked, thank you, Frank. Frank will be passing around the mic as well as the pastor here. So he asked to supply a need. Isn't that awesome? Is it possible that through asking a question, you know, asking for help, that we can get somebody to dialogue with us and for us to build a relationship with them? Is that possible? Yes. Yes. You know, Jesus knew that here he decided to show humility, didn't he? He didn't act like he could do everything. He actually asked for help. Okay. He asked for help. He asked for this woman to draw water for him, to give him a cup of water. Awesome. Are there ever times in our lives that we can ask our neighbors for help? That we can go knock on their doors and say, oh, can you help me with something? Do you have any thoughts on how to do this or how to do that? It was interesting when my father was in the Catholic Church, prior to becoming baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I remember later I asked him if he'd ever asked his priest or anything about Seventh-day Adventists. He goes, oh, yes. Early on, you know, when Mom changed religions and became a Seventh-day Adventist and you girls, I went to the priest and asked him, so what do you think of those Seventh-day Adventists? Have you heard of them before? And the priest told him, well, they think they know it all. They just think they know it all. And my dad, it was so interesting that God must have already laid that on my heart, because instead of me coming home and telling him everything that I knew, I would just say, Dad, what is it that you know? You know, let's look at the Bible together. No, do you know this verse, or what do you think of this, Dad? And so God had me asking my dad questions as well in order to draw out, you know, and create that relationship so that it did not seem that I knew all that information, right? And so we can ask for help. Even when we do Bible studies, it's so important for us not to just say, oh, I'm going to teach you the Bible, right? Oh, I'm going to teach you what's in the Bible. No, we should be saying, let's study together. Let's learn together. Don't you agree that every time you study the Bible, you learn something new? Yes, amen. I can tell you, with Amazing Facts, when I was a Bible worker for Amazing Facts years back, I mean, we all usually started with a prophecy series, Daniel chapter 2. And I would say, wow, I know this study inside out. I've only done over 100 Bible studies on this one subject, you know, especially. But it was amazing. What I found is that God spoke to me every time I studied, and I saw just something new I hadn't seen before. I understood something deeper about God that I hadn't understood before. So, strategy is so important as we approach others, okay? As we approach others. So what was the Samaritan's attitude towards Jesus initially? That's the second question. Okay, could you repeat that?
Curiosity and rejection, because she realized Jesus was one type and she was another. And it was like, we don't normally mingle.
Okay. So she didn't just embrace him wholeheartedly, did she? No. Okay. Any other thoughts? Suspicion. Okay. Yeah, what do you want with me? What are you doing here? What is it? You know, why are you asking me? Okay. Yes.
With the story, generally ladies went together at the water of the well. And if a lady went by herself at the wrong time, she would have been generally rejected by the group. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, with foreknowledge, knew that she was pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like that knowledge before he even said hello to her. He already knew her story.
Yes, yes. And even without knowing her story, what was a woman doing at, you know, such a hot point in the day going to get water, right? When would people generally go get water? Would it have been back then that, you know, at high noon or at the sixth hour at such a time? Yes, Raj.
So I was going to say there was a prejudice on her behalf. Towards Jesus.
Towards Jesus. There was this prejudice, you're saying?
Yes.
There was some prejudice towards Jesus, yes. Why? Because he was a Jew, right? Like, what are you doing asking me for help? Okay. So her attitude was not positive. Any other thoughts? Wanted to share? Okay. Okay, and so here we have stated that, yeah, she was shocked. I mean, Jews, and as she shared with Jesus, they don't interact with Samaritans, right? So what are you doing interacting with me, basically, right? So she didn't make this interaction easy, did she? Right? There was this bit of pushback. There was this bit of rejection, as was shared. Suspicion was shared? Yes, definitely. It didn't make sense, did it? Any other thoughts? Excellent. The mic's coming to you, Destiny.
Jesus reached out and touched the need of the heart at the time, regardless of social mores and practices of the time.
Exactly.
And I think we're obligated to do the same.
Amen. Amen. So we see here our God, you know, we see Jesus here really teaching his disciples how it's done. Right? Don't look at what socially was acceptable. No, I'm going to just ignore that piece and really come because this child needs to know me. You know, she is searching. There are things that have gone on in her life. She will be an effective mouthpiece for me. So God sees beyond physical appearance, right? Beyond. Third question. What caused the Samaritan woman's attitude to change toward Jesus? What would you say caused her attitude to change? Okay. Lack of condemnation. So just raise your hand if you want to say something, the mic will come to you as well. So lack of condemnation. So Jesus did not condemn her because she was a Samaritan, did he? You still sat with her, even asked her for water? Hey, yes.
He treated her with respect.
Okay.
Treated her. She was valuable.
Amen. So Jesus treated her with respect because she was valuable. Amen. Did others see that value in her? No. But Jesus did, yes. Yes.
Jesus showed interest in her.
He did, yes, indeed. Jesus showed interest in her, right? He sought to find out more, sought to talk to her, and even tell her things that no one knew. Yes, Rod.
He was telling the truth about her past.
Say that again?
He was telling the truth about her past.
Okay. So he also told the truth about her past. So we see that her attitude changed as, you know, Jesus, we see that sometimes what can happen is there was this wall, wasn't there initially? A wall, some sort of suspicion, rejection. There was something initially. But we see that Jesus didn't say, oh, okay, I tried and she's not interested. So, okay, have a beautiful day. I'll just go to another well and get my water, right? Jesus didn't do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that what I see Jesus doing here is she actually answers and she says, I don't have a husband, or the one that I'm with is not my husband. And he affirms the effort that she makes to actually say something that is truthful. And I've noticed that even in communicating with people, if you come across someone who's walking through a really hard path, if you even just take the effort, just to affirm that what they're saying, that you hear what they're saying, mm-hmm. and that what they're saying is valuable.
Yes.
Sometimes it actually goes a long way, just the small affirmations that we give to actually be able to share with them. Because they realize, oh, okay, this person is actually listening to what I'm saying. They care for me.
Amen. Yeah. So important, isn't it? I mean, there we, yes, thank you, Fred, for sharing that. But yes, there was this affirmation that was given to her. And in Bible work, we're actually taught to affirm and agree with as much as you can agree with your Bible study student, okay? You're not to sit there and try to cut down everything they say, you know, and say, oh, no, this is wrong, no, that's wrong, no, that's wrong. No, you want to, in your Bible study, everything that you can find to be able to agree with, you agree with, so that they don't not feel that there's this antagonistic relationship, so they feel that you're really together with them. It's so important. And so we see Jesus, how does he begin to also form? Yes, Fred gave a beautiful insight, how he shared how he, you know, affirmed that, yes, she spoke truly. She spoke truly. And he knew her past. So when we are doing, let's say we're going door to door, or sometimes when we're meeting people, and their initial reaction is negative towards us, what do we do? Do we just say, okay, forget it, let's just ignore this? I'm not going to bother then? No, sometimes God wants us to press on and press forward, right? And how do we know that? Sometimes we do get little impressions on our heart. Cool, you know, keep pressing forward. You know, don't let this get to you. I remember going door to door last year, actually with Cindy Touche. You know, she was, during the training last year, we went door to door together. And we get to a door and we did a survey with this lady, and I just began to ask her questions, and she was not interested in the survey. It's a survey on mind, body, and spirit, basically, where they can choose workshops or even find out their health age. So it's a survey that we do door-to-door to try to also ask to see if they'd be interested in spiritual life, in Bible studies or something. And as we go through all the questions on health, she's just being very cold. And she's just saying, no, I'm not interested in anything like that. And no, no, no. And she was just very strong. And I hardly even wanted to ask her about the Bible study portion, to be honest with you, because I just felt she's not interested. And her body language and her tone of voice, everything was saying was in the negative. But then actually, then when I showed her then the Bible study section, she goes, oh, this I want. I do want Bible studies. And I was in shock, you know, and I've done door-to-door many, many, for many years, but I just sat there going, what? Really? I didn't see that coming, you know, and so we don't know, right? What the initial defense, sometimes it's God is working on the heart behind the scenes, and we don't know. I remember once my sister, who's, she sometimes attends the Adventist church, and but just during this time when I was doing Bible work outside of Canada, I remember coming home to visit, and I'd say, Annabelle, you know, I'm going to be home, you know, for a week. Let's get together. And so we would get together. And I remember she said, Sandra, I want to take you to a vegetarian restaurant because you're vegetarian, and I'm going to take you for a lunch. And I thought, that is so sweet. So we go for lunch. And as we go for lunch, I end up talking a little bit about Jesus, how God has been working. And she said, Sandra, I don't want to hear anything about God. Why is it that God has to come into our conversations? And just then, you know, in my spirit, I kind of just went back and I kind of went silent because I said, oh no, what do I say? And I didn't know how could I really dialogue with my sister. So anyways, we finished lunch. She hardly said too many words to me. I neither. And we drove home, and I just thanked her again for such a sweet lunch that she would do this for me. But I still didn't know what to do. We weren't like we were in the beginning. And I just went upstairs into my room, and she went into the office, and I thanked her again. And I just said, God, what do I do with this? And I went upstairs and prayed. And I thought, oh, she just needs space. Tomorrow things will be okay. Is that how you normally handle it, too? Would you have? Yeah. Give them space. And I decided, yeah, I'm going to give her space, but I'm going to pray. And I just went on my knees and began to pray. I said, God, I don't know how to not bring you up because you're so a part of my life. But Lord, help me to know how to reach out to my sister and how to not create any disagreements between us. Lord, help me. Now what do I do? Lord, I made a mess. What do I do? And just then as I was praying, and I forget what story God led me into his word, but it just so spoke to me that I had to go speak to my sister and go downstairs and talk to her again. And I prayed again and really felt I needed to thank her again for taking me out and just telling her what a sweet, loving sister I have. So I went downstairs, and yes, I strengthened myself just because I thought maybe she's going to reject me again, you know. But I went downstairs, and I said, you know, thanks, sis, you know, for taking me again to lunch. You didn't have to do that. And you decided to plan and take me somewhere so special. Thank you, and I'm sorry. Anything I said could have, you know, changed that beautiful experience. And I said, thank you for being such a loving sister to me. And just then, she's just on the computer screen. She wouldn't even look at me. Tears started rolling and rolling down her eyes. And rolling down her eyes. And she said, Sandra, I'm kind of upset with God right now. And she began to share with me the things that were on her heart. And see, I didn't know she was going through something. And she was just not knowing what to do. And see, God knew. And that's why he's like, Sandra, don't back up completely. No, no, go tell her how much that you understand her heart, that you know she's loving. Even though she's reacting like this, you know that she's loving. And from there, she opened up. So we see that, you know, we, as Jesus didn't just, you know, back up from the Samaritan woman when she became defensive, right? He pressed on and began to speak to her, still began to be loving towards her. And only by his grace can we do that with others. So, what other things maybe caused this woman's attitude to change? It was shared also that God, that Jesus spoke to her the truth, right? He told her, go call your husband and come here. And when she said, I have no husband, yes, as Fred said, Christ affirmed her, you have well said, you have no husband, for you've had five, and one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And yet, Jesus knew all of this, and he didn't reject me. Isn't that awesome? There she is in front of a Jew, and can you imagine what she must be thinking? He knows! This man knows, and he still is willing to ask me for a drink of water. Me? Are not my hands unclean? How could he actually want me to do anything for him? Have you ever felt that way? That you're not worthy to work for God? That you're not worthy to do anything for him? But what I love about Jesus is that he looks at the heart. He knows how to clean up our lives and change our lives and use us as instruments of righteousness for him. Praise God. So what lessons does this story provide in order to more effectively witness to others? As we read through this, what is it that you feel God is telling you in how to witness in ways that Jesus would witness? Just raise your hand if you're willing to share, and a mic will be passed around. It's being passed around. So what lessons does this story provide in order to more effectively witness to others? Yes? Well, we'd like it for those who are listening, actually, from their campers, if that's okay.
The lesson is that we should help people regardless of their past, and that there's something we can do for everybody to help them feel better and be on the right road.
Okay. So, thank you for sharing that. So God doesn't want us to look at people's past. He wants us to look at who they are and what He's able to do with them, right? Yes. And you shared with me a powerful testimony, a piece of a little bit, even yesterday. And I know God will be using you powerfully to minister to those individuals as well. Thank you.
When I've done some street work before change, and in my experience, the best thing we can do is meet the people, the person where they're at. Be a sounding board for them to bounce their ideas off. And I think most of all, we need to be good listeners. Because I've noticed a couple times when maybe I interrupted what the person was saying, it kind of threw them off. And that showed me that, you know, if I accept this person where he or she is at, I let her tell me what her problems are or what she looks forward to in the future or whatever. And then I have somewhere I can go with the person. And there was one young lady in Vancouver when I worked at the mission down there. She almost came to Christ, but one of the pastors there kind of pushed her away. And she went back into the old lifestyle, got into drugs, and got hooked up with her. I think the guy was one of the pushers down there. And to see her so close and to see this one action change everything from her being saved to her being lost, it still breaks my heart when I think about it. Because I learned from other people that had interacted with her that she thought in order for her to get somewhere, she had to sleep with everyone that she met. And I told her, I said, no, you don't need that. That's not what God wants for you.
Exactly.
No? And she was about to give her life to Christ. And, I don't know if she did since then or not, but just that experience alone just taught me a great lesson.
Yes. So we do need to be so sensitive, right? We need to be so careful, so sensitive. And praise God that still, you know, there's hope for her. It's not, you know, we know that despite some mistakes we can make, that God is able to do the impossible, but we also don't want to, right, in any way hinder someone from coming to follow Jesus. Yes, there was. Okay, sorry, Raj, back here. Go ahead.
I was going to say we should not perceive people with preconceived notions, and that we should be more persevering toward them.
So not have preconceived notions and be persevering. And last year at the School of Evangelism, we learned that last year. You know, God had us, you know, really persevere and go out. You know, when not as many people as we'd hoped came for opening night for the evangelistic series, God just said, Sandra, you and all the students, you have to go out more and more and press on even more, persevere, and I will bring more and more people. And it was amazing to see that every night the numbers increased. Every night. And I'd worked and done evangelism with so many different evangelists. And here, for the first time, I'd never seen an evangelistic series go from a small number of attendees to a large number of attendees. Never seen that before. But God wanted to teach us a lesson of perseverance. Yes, Raj, perseverance. And there's back here and then over here. Yes.
The thing that stuck with me the most was that again, same with the comment back there, that we shouldn't really prejudge anybody.
Yes.
Because here Christ had spoken to a woman who was probably ostracized by society.
Yes.
And he sent her to town. Well, he actually never sent her to town, and she brought back the whole town to him.
Amazing.
But he sent 12 men to town that were studying to follow in his footsteps in the ministry, and they brought back food. They brought back no people. So we shouldn't actually prejudge, you know, who could do the most or the greatest work.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Amen. Yes, over here.
I think it's really important to share as Jesus did.
Yes.
He mingled with the people. He found out what their needs were. He took care of their needs, and then he said, "Follow me."
Amen.
I had an experience in a church where I was the community services leader.
Yes.
And there was a house that burnt down.
Wow.
Not very far from where I lived.
Yes.
I went over to see what could be done if they needed anything. And the one couple moved into town where they had relatives. But this other single senior man, the organization in town put him in a motel for 3 days. And I went and paid for his, for a month in the motel, and until he got his pension again.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, we invited him to come to something that we were doing at church once a month. We were having the senior shut-ins coming, and we were giving them a meal, and then we were having certain fellowships with them afterwards, sometimes a movie, sometimes games and things like that. And he started coming. He was enjoying himself so much that he started giving me a little bits of money to help with the expense of the food and things like that. And then we invited him to come to church. He started coming to church.
Amen.
And he was a smoking man, but he was enjoying church very much. And one day after Sabbath school, a member of our church came to him and said, "We don't smoke here."
Mm-hmm.
That was the most terrible thing that happened.
Difficult.
He wasn't smoking in the church, he was smoking outside.
Yes.
When you have a habit, you can't just throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be reasonable.
Yes.
Anyway, this man never came back to church again.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt the whole church.
Yes. And many times we have to go back to these individuals. Thank you for sharing. Though it's painful, many times we have to go back to, you know, these individuals and ask for forgiveness, because we realize that the Bible says they'll know you are my disciples by your love, and God wants us to love the people, not judge the people, not tell them, you know, especially as they're coming to know him. You know, God wants us to embrace them and help support them. Yes.
You took the words out of my mouth. Patient and loving and not always advice. To give advice isn't always the, and not to come before the Holy Spirit does.
Yes. And back there, as it was shared twice too, about what we perceive, what we see with human eyes is not always what God sees, isn't it true? I remember doing a door-to-door in Brazil. I was asked to go to Brazil. And on one of the trips I was there again, we did health expos in the small village. I remember praying, "God, where should we do the series and evangelism?" And God laid in my heart, do it in this little village. And for you to understand, it was such a small village that we'd be finished door-to-door in one day. Okay. There was maybe like 100 houses. Okay. All very close together, but that was it, you know. And I thought, oh, what's, you know, why this little village? But you know, I wanted to also be faithful to what God laid on my heart, so we went. And it was amazing. I got to this one house, and we were about to give the survey, and the lady, I could see she was just just very pale, like she was in shock. And I went over to her, and in Portuguese I said, Miss, are you okay? She said, no, look, my cow, I put rat poison all around the fence. And look, my cow, which is 6 months pregnant, licked all the rat poison, and it's dying. Look at it. And it's losing its baby. There's liquid coming out of it. It was just awful. And in my heart, I just said, God, what can we do? And right then, God laid on my heart, charcoal, Sandra, charcoal. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, charcoal? Okay, it's Sabbath. We're doing this survey. What? Where am I going to get charcoal? And I said, lady, do you have a log that's burnt? You know, burnt log? She goes, yes, I do. Like, black? She goes, yes. I'm like, okay, can we just, you know, just can you get your husband to, like, hammer it into powder in this bag, put it in a plastic bag, hammer into powder, and, well, I see you have a Coca-Cola bottle. Can you, like, fill it with water? And there's a mug there. Can you just use a mug of charcoal? I thought, you know, more than a teaspoon or tablespoon for humans, right? It's big. Cows are bigger. So I said, can you just mix it together and give it to the cow, and we're going to pray. And so we just prayed, and I prayed for this cow, and as I prayed for this cow, I wept for this cow. I said, God, you must save this cow, because I realized it was their livelihood. Amazing. After we left that place, news traveled to the school where we were staying that God had sent, they had sent two angels to us. The cow got up in 3 hours. The baby that was about to, it was going to lose its baby, stopped. The cow got up as if nothing had happened, and the cow was saved. Do you know we didn't even have to advertise for the series or the health expos? That lady told every single person in that village that when we went to actually do the health expo and series, everybody came. All the people, they said, you're the people that saved this cow. You're the people. So we want to learn everything from you. This lady did all our advertising. So what we perceive, you know, as being, why this little village? You know, why something so small? God has ways that we can't think of to reach, right? Yes. Amen. Any other thoughts? Yes, please.
I don't know if that's part of the story, but it seems like it says to worship God, basically, right? To worship the Father here. So all the stories basically coming up to say here to worship the Father, right? Is that possible?
In spirit and truth? Worship in spirit and truth? Is that what you're saying?
I just had a thought. Maybe we can.
Okay. So maybe a piece of witnessing. Are you saying it's important worship, that we worship the Godhead? Yes. It's about worship. Oh, there's a question also in the back. You can. So you're saying it's about worship, you're saying? Was there a question in the back or a comment? No, okay, no. Okay. So did you want to finish your thought? Did you? How did you feel?
It just, John 4, chapter 21st, talks about Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. So I'm not sure, where does that lead us to?
Okay, so What you're saying, what is the context here that Jesus is saying? You know, here we see that Jesus was talking about, you know, well, she was talking about how special this spot was, right? You know, she said in verse 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. So she's saying there are two special places. This mountain is very special, and also the Jews say Jerusalem is. But what is God saying here? Here Jesus is saying, well, it's about true worship is worshiping in spirit and in truth, right? It didn't just matter the location, right? It just not that one place is blessed or sacred. It's God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. And so we understand that when witnessing, right? You can find people everywhere. Yes?
I was just going to say, that's actually a very good point, that sometimes we're a little shy to be truthful with people.
Okay.
But Jesus held nothing back.
That's
he let
right.
her know that salvation is unto the Jews. The truth is mm-hmm. with them.
Yes,
and he didn't hold
truth.
That back, and
right.
we shouldn't be ashamed to do that either. Mm,
very powerful, yes, statement. Yes, indeed. God does not want us to be scared to share, right? He wants us to be bold to share, but to share in love, right? To share in love, but we are not to withhold truth, are we? Right? When people say, well, you know, people, my loved one is already in heaven. Should we just say, oh, okay, it's okay for you to believe that? Or do we say, well, you know, my favorite verse in the Bible that I love to share with them is in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that wonderful? That they're sleeping in Jesus, actually, and that we are to comfort one another with these words. There's comfort in knowing that one day we can be united, but until then, they're just sleeping. You know, and then we can explain why. Why is it so comforting, right? You know, they're not seeing all the evil that is being done on this earth. They're, you know, there's a reason why God allows man to sleep, right? You know, instead of go to hell and heaven as, you know, or purgatory as the Catholics would believe in others, yes. And there was another hand that was raised. Where was it? Were you going to say something? Yes, okay. Over here, Mike. I can give it to them. Thank you. Yes.
I have thought so many times. I'm concerned. I have a thought. I often think, what do people say if I'm going to say something? But you know, that really shouldn't bother us. God knows our heart. And really, we should be concerned about what God thinks about us and what we say. And how we influence other people
yes.
by our words and by our actions.
Yes. You going to say something too? Wait, yes, please.
Yeah, speaking about being so shy and quiet, I have been struggling with that most of my life and into my adult life as well. But I am, like when I was younger and growing up, I could hardly open my mouth to say hi to anybody, let alone sharing anything with them. But over the years, I have learned to come out of that and listen to Jesus's impression, and to slowly, I seem to be a slow learner, but I'm slowly getting to the point where I'm able to share more and more.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Indeed, God wants us to be able to share, and He does help us, doesn't He? I mean, like that person in the shop, normally Sandra would never have said, oh no, you can't not, you know, you can't be open during Sabbath hours, but God gave us boldness all of a sudden, right? To us. And God can do that to each one of us. Just say, God, I'm willing. Just take my mouth. If God can allow a donkey to speak, can He help us to speak? Oh, yes, right? God can use us to speak. Well, I just want to thank you for you know, together sharing, you know, because that is what helps us to learn. Because just hearing from me is not how we all learn. It's learning from each other. So thank you. The things that you shared inspired me, and I know it inspired the others as well. So thank you. And may we each, when we leave this place, truly, through God's help, be open, be listening. Because God doesn't just say pray, but He says watch and